This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman, Mizzler, best in the Bizzler. You got Mr. Allergic, Matty Boom Boom Leech. And then there's the book from the Wolverine magazine, Wolverine.com, John Bort. John, Michigan basketball is had a split last week. They lose one, they win one. Minnesota, that's somebody they beat before. Everybody keeps telling me that's the worst team in the Big Ten, but I mean, you're talking about a team that went into Columbus and beat Ohio State. So I say, okay, they're the worst team in the Big Ten, but the Big Ten, it's a competitive league then.
There's no doubt about that. And there's no lack of inconsistency within the Big Ten. I mean, all you have to do is take a quick peek at up the road and you see Michigan State with a worse Big Ten record than Michigan. And they are being referred to as, yeah, they'll be an NCAA team, no doubt. And right. Then you turn to Michigan with a better Big Ten record at this point, not much, but better. And you've got people saying, oh, man, they're going to really have a hard time making the tournament. And I understand that Michigan State got more done in the non-conference. And Michigan has shown a great inconsistency. The near misses in the non-conference and some games that slipped out of their grasp so far in the Big Ten. I think that's one of the reasons that this Purdue game is so huge. If you could steal that one and put that win on your resume, you would take a giant leap up in terms of the committee's eyes, in terms of your own standing in the Big Ten. You bank a couple wins if you banked out.
Yeah, like you said, or you know, some Michigan fans or some people out there don't believe that Michigan. You take a look, they're tied for second in the Big Ten now with Rutgers, and some people say, oh, they're too high, you know, give it a little bit of time, they'll come back down to earth. With this win over Purdue, they don't close the gap where all of a sudden they would be number one, anything like that. But I think if they are able to get that win, it does legitimize their position in the Big Ten. And then if they are able to stay within that top two or three or four throughout the rest of the season, like you said, that almost guarantees you a spot in the big dance when it comes down to it. Where, heck, last year, Jamie mentioned, I think we had 17 wins and we got in and made it to a Sweet 16. So I agree with you, but this win, we can all agree, would be huge for the Wolverines. How do we go out there and get it when you're playing against a well-coached Matt Painter team with a big guy in the middle who's making a candidacy for player of the year?
Well, I think a couple things on that score. You when you got a Zach Edey, he's that intimidating presence at 7'4". You understand that he is going to protect the rim, but you got two things that you got going for yourself. You've got your 7-footer. You've got a Hunter Dickinson that can have his best game of the year, and you can attack that guy, number one. But number two, you've got to be able to play off of Hunter Dickinson, get those feeds, hit the shots on the perimeter, and get Purdue back on its heels. I get it that this is a tough task, but they can make it easier by having the big guy both go right at Edey at times. They are at home. I mean, it's not like you're trying to get this done in Mackey. And also, you know, you've got shooters. You've got shooting. I mean, you have to hope you're going to have one of those shooters in Jet Howard. And I happen to think that you may, you know, I would be surprised if he doesn't try to make a go of this.
Again, so, you go ahead. I'm sorry. Again, you're listening to John Borton of the Wolverine magazine, Wolverine.com. I mean, John, why does everybody forget last year? Everybody keeps putting out of Hunter Dickinson owned Zach Edey in West Lafayette had in Ann Arbor last year. I get it. Everybody improves. Well, what makes you think Hunter didn't improve? I know Zach Edey's improved. I know he's up for player of the year and different things like that. But Hunter Dickinson, he's up for player of the year too. And if he had the guys around him that were doing the things that they should be doing, I mean, it's a young team. I get it. It's a young team. It's a team that you're pressing to play defense because, you know, Juwan was used to coming in. He had veterans when he came here. He had guys that were beeline tested, guys that could hit the jumpers, guys that would, instilled by beeline, play defense. Now he's got to train his own freshmen. You've got to play defense or you don't play. You've got to do these things or you don't play. That's what it's got to come down to. But you're right that if this team could put it all together, they could very well win against Purdue, because Purdue is beatable. I know that they're beatable. They've been shocked a couple times, but they eke out. They make that final shot and they win the game. I get it, but this is not an unbeatable team.
Yeah, well, I think, and to your other point, I think that there are a lot of guys that Juwan Howard has trained, including Hunter Dickinson. I mean, he has had a measure of success here that you cannot deny. I think that the part of the hesitation mm-hmm. on this particular team is A, the youth and inconsistency and inexperience in the starting lineup. And I think there's just more of that. And part of that is the injuries. Juwan Howard mentions injuries the other day. He hasn't said a whole lot about that. He doesn't like to talk about that. But, I mean, it's legitimate. You know, it was in the context of, okay, Jet Howard goes down. You've lost your guy that you thought was going to start at point guard all year. Mm-hmm. You're playing Doug McDaniel countless minutes when, what, he would have been a 10, 12-minute-a-game guy if all had been like you thought. Mm-hmm. And they've lost other guys for stretches. So I don't think it's an excuse. You can't make it. If you look at it that way, you're going to go downhill fast. Juwan Howard understands that. And that's why he hasn't stressed it a lot. But I think you've got guys that are coming along and can get it done for you at times, but they have not learned some of the consistency that you need. I heard your previous guest talking about it being a matter of intensity. I think it is to some extent, and they've admitted it is at times. But for a guy like Doug McDaniel, if he gets too intense, he's in overdrive and he's making mistakes. So I think it's a combination of effort, intensity, intelligence combined with experience, which, you know, just comes out in better play overall. And I really think that, you know, if they manage to rise up and show it in this game, you look at the bigger games. I mean, what's been the worst game of the year? Central Michigan. Because why? In part because, oh, Central Michigan, they're terrible. I mean, we're just going to show up and drill them on the other big games, the Kentuckys and, you know, some of these other ones. Michigan did not win the game, but they came very close and gave a great effort. Michigan just needs to get over the top in this one, and it is at home.
You mentioned that they were close in a lot of those. The Virginia game, that's probably the best example, as they're a top 10 team right now. Purdue, they've only lost the one to Rutgers, but they had the really close game against Ohio State. What? It was in Columbus. Really close game against Michigan State in East Lansing. So hopefully it's the intensity, like you said, it's the mental toughness of making the smart plays, not committing timely turnovers, things of that nature. But what do you think if Michigan is in a close game against Purdue, which we found ourselves in them against a number of good teams, what can be the difference in finally getting Michigan over the top, where whether it's Kentucky, whether it's Virginia, these games earlier in the season, we weren't quite able to do it?
I'm going to take you back to answer that question very specifically, take you right back to the last 2 minutes of the Iowa game. Michigan's up by 7. Michigan has every chance in the world. And this isn't at home. This is on the road. They've controlled this game and had it right in a position to win. And they don't win it because they did not get the shots they needed to close it out. You saw in those situations a not enough ball movement, a running down of the shot clock. They were so focused on taking time off that they did not get into a situation where they got off a good shot and they didn't score. I mean, they did. Yeah, you run the seconds off and then you clunk one. This is a team that needs to take the next step. If they're in that same position, if they're up 7 with a couple minutes to go against Purdue, they have to do the things that will get them the type of shots that will get them to the line and have guys on the floor that can make free throws. I mean, this is not a good free throw shooting team. This is a team that has guys that you almost can't have on the floor at all down the stretch at this point, because you can't shoot 25% from the free throw line and be on the floor in crucial situations, because that's a turnover. Okay. They're going to hack you and you're going to miss a couple. And then you've got, you know, it's like you threw the ball out of bounds. So I think it's a combination of how they attack if they have a lead down the stretch, and also to render a lineup out there such that it can get in position and not only make the clutch shots, but if they go to a fouling situation, close that thing out.
Again, you're listening to John Boynton from the Wolverine magazine, Wolverine.com. John, let's switch sports real quick. I'm going to ask you a question. Michigan Stadium. Michigan officials have decided to eliminate 45 seats to provide space to widen the tunnel. I mean, although the capacity will remain the same, so at 107,601, because of the additional standing room only tickets will be made available. I guess what I'm asking you or what I'm saying to you is look, you're taking I didn't know there were folded up chairs. I honestly thought I lived and seen it all, but there are actually folded up chairs that they do bring down into that tunnel area that, you know, the stadium chairs lift and they go up. But I guess what I'm asking you is this going to help in public safety and everything like that?
You know what? I think it will. It's taking an action in response to some of the criticism that arose. But in reality, you've had one big incident in what? Almost 100 years of football at that stadium, tunnel-wise. And that was because a dozen Spartans got really stupid and got out of line, seriously. So I think they probably had to do something. And I think that this change is probably in part a response to that. But there could be another reason as well. If down the road, Chrysler Arena were to host events, Michigan Stadium were to host events other than football games 7 or 8 times a year, I'm hearing that this might impact that ability as well.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So circus is coming to Ann Arbor. Let's go.
something to keep your eyes out for.
I will be bushy tail on that one.
Well, no, I'll be keeping an eye on that one too. You know, John, we were asking, because certainly I think it's a little part in both, but, you know, because there was multiple incidents that occurred that game, the fight in the tunnel, but also you had the Michigan fan who had reached out and touched Mel Tucker as he was going by, which one I would argue that it's in a response to both of those incidents. But if you had to pick one, do you think it's more the Michigan fan reaching out and touching a coach from an opposing team? Or do you think it was the fight that actually took place?
Well, I think it has to be more the, you know, you got players actually assaulted. I mean, yes, a coach got touched. I'm sure there are other coaches that got touched over the years. I mean, my son used to be a tunnel rat, and he never touched an opposing coach. I mean, you know, the one of those guys that hang out at the tunnel and all his growing up years, and he would say hey to other coaches, and he'd get a high five once in a while. I mean, so it's not all acrimony down there, but I don't, you know, there will probably be tight and has been, and honestly, tighter security down at the tunnel. And I think they will do some things to make sure that people aren't reaching out and in that. But if I was to pick between the two, I mean, you got kids actually assaulted. So to me, that's the bigger item.
Again, you're listening to John Borton, a wealth of knowledge through, I mean, Michigan Tunnel. He knows it's been there for 100 years. And we had
I was not there when it was built. I want that known.
Most importantly, did you know the Incrustables that got thrown at the Penn State game? I mean, you throw your lunch out. I mean, I don't know why they would do that, but, you know, I guess Penn State, they didn't really want to fight. They just wanted to have a peanut butter and jelly fight.
Well, that, and I mean, Michigan was eating their lunch in the second half, so it was compounded. I mean, it was, you know, it was bad all around for the Nittany Lions that day.
Well, so John, taking a look at that, you know, we've taken a few lumps here this offseason, pretty much since the end of the college football playoff, at least the end of it for the Wolverines with our loss to TCU. Do you think Michigan is out of the thick where hopefully we can, you know, I know that there's still some big recruits that we've got some eyes on, maybe some guys we're trying to flip, different things like that. Do we have some good news on the horizon here so we can get past some of these negative headlines that we've had to get around?
I think you're in line for a whole lot of good news, and that is because, you know Jim Harbaugh's coming back. You're not dealing with that anymore. Tunnel is behind you for the most part. And just, they had to change out a coach because human beings do some things at times that they should not do. Now, innocent till proven guilty and all that, but they know Michigan feels like it knows enough so that they, let someone go. You're going to have a new, I mean, Michigan fans, anytime you have somebody coming in, offensive coordinator or offensive mind, they'll say, wow, they've got to know more than the last guy because I could design the offense better than this. I just think that you look at the early polls, you look at how loaded Michigan's going to be on offense coming back. You look at what those defensive coaches did with the raw materials that everybody said, oh, man, I don't think they're going to face what they heard last year. I really don't. Because last year, what was it on defense? Oh, all these guys, you lose Hutch, you lose David Ojabo. They're just not going to be the same on defense. Well, they were not the same, but they were at least as good. And that included a new guy calling the shots who's going to now be into his second year. I think that as for Michigan football, what it has accomplished the last 2 years is going to buy it a lot of respect, not only in the Big Ten, but beyond. There will be people that will point to the playoffs. We haven't won a playoff game, and you should have beat TCU and all this other stuff. But hey, who's accomplished more in the Big Ten? Who's accomplished more around the country, save two or three teams? Nobody. And right. So you are going to be talked about as one of the teams to beat and the teams to watch with J.J. McCarthy coming back at quarterback.
Well, John, we really appreciate you coming on, being a part of the M Zone. And see, you're not Austin Meeks, but you are John Borton. We really appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
As I said, the meek shall inherit the earth, and the Borton shall inherit the travel? End zone.
The travel.
The end zone for a half an hour. I mean, come on. You guys are fun.
Well, see, there you go. Like that's what we try to do. We appreciate you, and hey, we'll see you. You're just Waldo. Where is Waldo right now? I mean, good God.
There you go. Well, I'm
appreciate
coming,
you, though.
Coming back to see you soon.
All right. That's John Borton of the Wolverine Magazine, Wolverine.com. We'll be right back on the other side. Got to talk to Miz about who has the edge to go to the Super Bowl. Ooh. What you betting on? You're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.